102.7.
Your favorite team, the Yankees, Astros, Rangers, and Texans, all play on the Zone FM 102.7 and Sports Radio 1150. This is KZNE, KNDHD3, and KNDHD4, K274CM, College Station Bryan. Sports Flash.
I'm Jay Berman. This report is brought to you by Barbasol Shaving Cream, America's leader for a close, comfortable shave, now with new rust-proof aluminum bottoms. All right, let's talk NFL. Let's talk injuries. Those injuries for the Bills are mounting. Carlos Williams suffered a concussion last Sunday. He's considered day-to-day. The team worked out Trent Richardson today, the former first pick, but he didn't get a contract. Instead, the Bills gave that contract to Boom Heron. Tyron Walker out for the season, dislocated ankle and broken leg. He's in surgery. That's a tough break for the Lions. Former Dolphins punter Brandon Fields is signing with the Saints. College news, and we'll start with UCLA. It's an interesting story. Junior linebacker Miles Jack, who suffered a torn meniscus several weeks back, has withdrawn from school. He's going to enter the NFL draft. Elsewhere, Auburn senior receiver Duke Williams has been dismissed from the team. Ole Miss linebacker C.J. Johnson underwent surgery today, a torn meniscus. He's expected to miss 4 to 6 weeks. All right, baseball postseason begins tonight. It's the American League wild card. It is the Astros on the road for the Yankees in the Bronx. Masahiro Tanaka for the Pinstripes. Dallas Keuchel on 3 days rest for the first time in his career going for the Astros. Winner moves on to the division series versus the Royals. 8 p.m. Eastern time, first pitch from the Bronx. National League wild card is tomorrow night. Cubs visit the Pirates with Arrieta going up against Cole. The victor gets the Cardinals in the division series. I'm Jay Burr.
Kick off your football Sunday with me, DA, 9 a.m. Eastern, Sunday morning football only on CBS Sports Radio.
I'm Patrick Zinert with your community calendar on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone 102.7 FM. Brought to you by RP Lee Termite and Pest Control, shielding and protecting homes against pests for over 30 years. For more information, visit rpleepestcontrol.com. The 89th annual Bryan College Station Christmas Parade is just around the corner and now accepting entries. Go to bcsparade.com to sign up and invite everyone to celebrate the 89th annual BCS Christmas Parade on Sunday, December 6th. Blinn College will host an information session for prospective students interested in pursuing careers in law tomorrow at 5:45 in room 135 of the Bryan Campus Science Building. Head out to Boonville Heritage Park on Friday morning at 10 for a dedication ceremony for the Turner Peters Dog Trot Log Cabin. Today, mostly sunny and 90. Tonight, partly cloudy and a low of 67. The next spirit stop, thanks to Buppy's Barbecue, is Friday night at 7 when the Aggie soccer team hosts Alabama. Show your support for Aggie athletics and stop by the Zone tent to register for a care package. For more information, visit the events tab at zone1150.com.
Can a Texas realtor help you sell your home? Of course. Is a Texas realtor your go-to source to buy property? You betcha. Will a Texas realtor make you an omelet with salsa fresca? Unlikely. But if you want more office space, need a property manager, want to buy a ranch, get a condo upgrade, downsize, or exchange your duplex for a triplex, a Texas realtor is the professional for you. Just make your own omelet, okay?
Whatever your real estate dream, a Texas realtor can get you there. Find a Texas realtor at texasrealestate.com.
Will a Texas realtor help you negotiate your real estate deal? Absolutely. Is a Texas realtor your best source for accurate real estate info? Unquestionably. Will a Texas realtor show you how to fold an origami penguin? Probably not. But if you want to buy your first home, sell your ranch, get a lake house, lease a warehouse, move downtown, uptown, or out of town, a Texas realtor is the professional for you. You're on your own with the penguin.
Whatever your real estate dream, a Texas realtor can get you there. Find a Texas realtor at texasrealestate.com.
It's the best time of year to buy from the best farm and tractor retailer in the Brazos Valley, Normandy Tractor. Get zero down payment, 0% financing, top dollar for your trade-in, and free delivery. Get the Kubota L2501F 25-horsepower two-wheel drive tractor with a 5-foot Land Pride shredder and a 5-foot Land Pride box blade with teeth. And $2,250 in rebates for only $11,250. $245 or $160 per month. Want your tractor to do even more? Well, try the Kubota L2501 HST 25 horsepower tractor with four-wheel drive, Kubota front-end loader, 5-foot Land Pride shredder, and box blade with teeth. Get $2,250 in rebates. Pay only $18,145 or $231 per month. Why buy used when you can buy new with payments as low as these? That's why Normandy Tractor is known as the place to shop for all of your tractor, utility vehicle, and lawn equipment needs. Shop online at normandytractor.com, corner of Highway 39 and OSR in Normandy. And remember, nobody beats Normandy Tractor. Nobody.
Spend your lunch at the Tap with Billy and Bryce for the Bellucci Hour Lunch every Monday and Thursday at noon. Or listen here on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone 102.7 FM.
And now it's Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, on Sports Radio 1150, The Zone.
Welcome back. Second hour of Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle. Bloom, Cessna, Khan, all hanging out. You can give us a call, 693-1150. Text us 229-1939. We're brought to you by MSC Opus. Check out all the great events coming to the season that dreams are made of at mscopus.org. All the information, all the great shows and events coming in there at mscopus.org. We've got all kinds of texts. I did the Twitter handles one. Someone said, someone asked, someone's not a fan of the Astros. Most people are fans of the Astros. Let's see. Someone asked more self-scouting questions because of my questioning line today.
That's
in the
great.
Press conference.
I like it.
I said, and we started the show by saying, if you missed the beginning of the show, that it's kind of just the way it is at those press. If you want to write about something, it's annoying, and you hate it when other people do it too. But if you want to write about something, you've got to ask every single person about it. And it's just one of those deals where if you want the story, then you've got to ask it. And it gets, you know, it's on everybody's nerves, but it's just one of those things you got to do.
Yep.
Let's see. Someone else. Someone suggested we go ahead and make a Cessna Twitter page, tweet play-by-play or analysis of every game, but be sure to butcher everybody's names in all the tweets. So there you go, Cease.
That would be me. That original. That's good.
Sam, we talked about it yesterday because it's one of those things, and it's not just Aggie fans. I know it's especially Aggie fans, but you're fans of Baylor, you're fans of TCU, Tech, whatever, people that only sort of like college football can't get enough of just this implosion going on at Texas. And someone texts, let's get Sam's take on the UT dumpster fire that is their football program. How much longer will the mighty proud big money alums allow the program to spiral down into the abyss? I'm all for it, but I'm sure the boosters are about done. And I mentioned on the show yesterday that me and you had talked about this after the game, and that's that I came into this season going, no way is Charlie Strong going to get fired. I still don't think he's going to, but I'm no longer on the completely sure he's not going to side of things.
No, I actually think because of the athletic director change and the regime change, I guess it's possible. I guess if they only win two games, I guess, yeah, it's certainly possible it could happen. But my take is this, partially, and a lot of A&M fans are not going to be happy with this, but I don't really watch closely what happens at Texas. I just don't. I'm worried about SEC football because I cover the SEC. I do pay a little bit of attention. I was talking with our Max Olson, who covers the Big 12 and lives in Austin, so he covers Texas a lot for us last night. We were texting back and forth, and I said, wow, I said, you had an interesting season. And he said, if it's not one thing, it's another. It's been that kind of year for them. And what my thought is I'm shocked that they have hit rock bottom like this, because that's what it feels like. When you're down 37-0 to TCU, a team in your conference like that,
3 minutes into the second quarter.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I when I saw the halftime score of that game, when I saw it flash during the halftime of the game I was watching on Saturday morning, I was shocked. I was like, wow. I was like, they're getting killed. And then you see all the infighting in the locker room. I think Max wrote a story yesterday about all the Twitter back and forth between teammates calling out other teammates for – teammates calling out freshmen for not wanting to work hard during practice and just wanting to play on Saturdays and not paying the dues. And then freshmen tweeting back at the upperclassmen, you know, about – you know, saying that – that is the epitome of a disaster. And I feel – I kind of feel for Charlie Strong because – I can't imagine that this is this is all his doing. It just I refuse to believe that. But it just as shocks me that a program that was that high 10 years ago winning a national championship is now at that point.
They were in the championship game 6 years ago. I mean, that's...
Well, I mean, winning it.
Yeah, but I mean, they were... And that's what's crazy to me.
Yeah, 6 years ago, they were in the game.
Yeah, is how fast they've fallen. I mean, it is what's crazy. The thing that stands out to me is the player thing. And because someone tweeted about that. I can't remember who it was now. Every program in the country has some players who hate other players. If you get 100 people in any room, some of those people aren't going to like some of the other people. It's just the way it works. But yeah, they're the only program that has players sniping at each other over social media, and it's just a mess right now. And the thing is, it could not be a worse time of the year. I mean, there's not a good time, but it could not be a worse time. You're coming off of maybe the best team in the Big 12 in TCU, and you've got 6 days to get ready for the team that maybe is the best team in the Big 12, and Oklahoma is your big rival. And we talked about this a little bit yesterday, Sam, to kind of give you some what we were talking about, is that there's so few big games in the Big 12 this year. And I think that's not to say that the league is down. I think a lot of those teams are better than they were a year ago, but they're not in the top 10. I mean, there aren't that many national championship contenders in the Big 12. That the big national game games are so few and far between, but the following for Texas is still so big that people are going to watch you play Texas. They watch TCU play Texas, and now they're going to watch Oklahoma play Texas. And Oklahoma knows what TCU did to Texas. Yeah. So now they're going, all right, we've got to do at least that this week, too. So it's not a great time of the season for them to be infighting either.
What was it you said the other night when we were hanging out, that they may be the fifth best program in the state of Texas?
No, I had them sixth. I think Houston's sixth. Probably better than they are.
Oh, Houston's definitely better than they are right now. I'm going to say that.
I think A&M, Baylor, Tech, TCU, and Houston are all better than Texas.
That is just fascinating to me that that's happened. I just, it's unbelievable. Like I said, I haven't watched it really all that closely. I don't follow Texas as closely as Aggies do. Sorry. I just don't. By the way, I couldn't tweet very many times during the game on Saturday night about the game I was covering, A&M Mississippi State, without someone replying with a Texas joke. And I'm like, it just fascinates me how much interest there is in it. And I didn't go to Texas A&M, so I'll never understand that. But that said, it's just fascinating to me. And I understand, like, things have changed over the years. Like, for instance, Oregon was once not really relevant and now is kind of a perennial power, maybe not this year, but you know, they've been relevant pretty consistently. And Baylor was a doormat, and now they're winning Big 12 championships, and you see those things happen. But I just never thought I'd see the reverse happen for a program with the resources and cachet that Texas has. It's just amazing to me.
Yeah, and I think part of it with the A&M fans, anytime Texas is losing, they get a kick out of it. But also, I think it's because A&M so far has only done what they've needed to do. You know, I don't think too many A&M fans are going out and going, we should be number one in the country, and here's why. Because A&M's just taking care of business so far. Now, if A&M beats Alabama, then A&M fans are going to be talking more about themselves than they will about Texas.
I hope so. But
I think that's part of it.
I'm tired of Texas Twitter jokes in my feed from replies from fans.
But it's also national writers too. I think A&M.
Oh, yeah.
I think A&M too. They're not a major part of the, when you're talking about the big 5-6 storylines in college football of the last few weeks. I don't think that A&M is one of those.
A&M's not one of them.
Because they were favored in both games. They're favored against Arkansas. They're favored against Mississippi State. And now they're on bye week. So I think the conversation has been a lot about Texas, just because, like you, I don't think anyone ever believed they'd be this bad.
No.
And they are horrible on defense. They're worse on offense, and somehow worse than that on special teams. Like, it's unbelievable when you watch them now. So I don't know. So the people can't get enough. And
the only way the Texas fans are going to unite is next week. They'll be rooting hard for Alabama because they don't want A&M. If A&M starts 6-0, that's going to be things are going to get a lot worse in Austin.
Well, and because of what happened to A&M last year after they went to 5-0, I think even A&M fans, who I don't think anyone's going to disagree with me here, and of course I went to A&M, but they're not necessarily the most reasonable bunch when their team starts winning. So you know,
which college football fan base is?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
That's anybody.
They're normally quick to you know, all right, this is it. This is our year. This is the team. But because of what happened last year, I don't think they are this year.
That's why, and you know, I think that's helping A&M because I think it's helping
Correct.
The players.
I agree.
I think it's helping the coaches because I think last year, everyone was so onto that train that was moving forward, and everybody was buying in, especially, and you know what, it started with Sumlin, because after that South Carolina win, he looked up and said, we're not a one-trick pony, and you could tell the chip on his shoulder.
He was waiting all summer to say
He was waiting all summer to say it, and everyone else jumped on, and we had people picking him for the college football playoff, and everyone jumped on. So now that you have it the other way, where people are cautious about it, I think that's affected the attitude to the program in a positive way, because now they're not complacent. They understand that in 2 weeks they have one of the best teams in college football coming, and they also have still, for the guys who were there in Tuscaloosa that made that trip, what happened on that field is still in their brains, I can promise you that.
Last year, the media was talking about the semifinals, what the matchups. You don't have that this year because of Alabama. Everybody's looking, knows that the next big test will tell a lot.
Yeah, and I think that's affected the fan base some. I think that's why they're as much making fun of Texas as they are ready to, you know, beat their own chest right now, because they're waiting. They want to see if this team has it too. Now, this will not be the case if they beat Alabama. This town will be off the deep end. I don't know what's going to happen around here if that happens, but that's, I think, a big part of this right now, is that, like I said, a fan base, and no fan base is known for being reasonable, but is I think A&M fans are being cautious this year. I think they're trying to,
right, and rightfully so.
Yeah, and I kind of agree with them, but they don't want to go out and
they
say
remember
we're
last
number
year.
One yet. Let's see. We had all kinds of texts.
Yeah, there's a lot of
texts
coming
thing.
In now. You talk about Texas, all of a sudden texts are coming in.
Yeah, someone. That was like 20 texts ago. We got to that one. Someone said, if and this is a question for you too, Sam. We're talking about other teams in the SEC. Matt in College Station said, if LSU has less than 400 yards passing this season, how can they expect to win in November? That's a lot of abuse to Fournette. I wonder about this too, because they are running up the mileage on Leonard Fournette, and I know he's a machine. He's probably the most one of the most athletic guys in college football, but those hits add up over the course of the season, and you worry about him being able to carry that load for 13 weeks is a lot to ask.
Yeah, and you know what? Like I said, I had a lot of LSU fans on me this year because I picked them to go 7-5 for the season, and obviously I'm wrong on that because it looks like they're way headed for way better than that. But the reasoning for it was because I didn't believe that the passing game was going to be good enough to win them enough ball games. Of course, when Leonard Fournette's that good, you ain't got to throw the ball because, you know, he's just that damn good. But I wonder, because at some point, Brandon Harris is going to have to win a football game for them, and I wonder when that point comes. But let's look at LSU's schedule, because I think there are going to be times where they can get him out of a game. Or, like, for instance, this weekend against South Carolina, I think you can get him out of this game early.
Well, but they couldn't get him out of the Eastern Michigan game early last week.
And that's on them. But, you know, against Western Kentucky on October 24th, which is the week before Bama, you should be able to get him out early. You know, and then I guess after that, then it's all bets are off. Their November goes as follows. It's at Alabama versus Arkansas, at Ole Miss versus Texas A&M. That's LSU's November. That is brutal.
Well, and I think, you know, like you said, they want to get him out of the games, but the problem is they can't put anybody away without him. I mean, it was a one-possession game with Syracuse in the fourth quarter. They were only up on Eastern Michigan, 9 at the half, so they have to come out and use him, and I think that's part of the problem. They haven't been able to put teams away.
I will say this. I think Texter does have a point, but remember, he's like 20 years old. So, I mean, he didn't run a lot. They didn't give him a lot of carries last year. So, I don't worry about it as much in terms of Fournette's workload wearing on him as much as I worry about whether or not Brandon Harris can win a football game for him if he has to. Because someone's going to put, whether it's Alabama or Ole Miss, is going to put 8 and 9 in the box and force Brandon Harris to throw the football. And I think he's got the ability, but the question is, I don't know if he's a fit for that offense. He was more of a spread guy in a pro-style system, and I think it's taken him time. And they've got the receiver weapons, but the question is he going to get it done when someone stops Fournette and makes him beat you? So that I don't know.
I agree with you as far as he's going to have to win a game, but to me, LSU's going to probably lose a game. Everybody's going to lose at least one game when you look at this West. It's going to be hard for everybody to go through unscathed. Can he win a game? Because it might be important, because you got a murderer's row. If they can't throw the ball at all, they might lose two or three games out of that stretch if they can't throw.
Yeah.
Let's see, more text. Someone said, I agree. Kirk doesn't need to be in the wildcat with big guys falling on him. Someone said, I think the over-under for Texas wins this year, probably 3.5. Talking about Charlie Strong. Someone said, you can't fire someone when you can't hire an upgrade. And that's one thing we did talk about. I don't think they'll just fire him to fire him. I think they could fire him if they had someone big lined up. You know, everyone always, of course, brings up Chip Kelly in the situation.
But the roster's got to get upgraded.
Well, yeah.
No one wants to come in if you don't feel like you got the talent that you can work with.
Well, that's part of the problem, too. That job is not real appealing right now because you're looking at going in there.
Well, look at the drama and the mess around, not even just with the program, but in the athletic department.
Well, and we said that we joked that they're the – it's not really a joke, but they're the sixth best team in Texas. The problem is three of those other teams are in your league. And so that's not even talking about Oklahoma and Oklahoma State and the other teams in the Big 12. So part of the problem there of that job taking it right now is best case scenario, your personnel is maybe – fifth in the conference. That's if you think they've got better players than West Virginia, which I don't know if that's a given at the moment. So I think that's part of the problem there is that's not exactly an appealing job. Now, having said that, they could probably get Lane Kiffin for not much money, Sam.
Wow. Whoa.
Wouldn't that be amazing? Wow. Come on.
You know what? I tell you what. I don't watch Texas that often. If Lane Kiffin was the coach, I would tune in every week, baby.
Yeah.
Longhorn Network would get a lot of ratings.
Oh, yes. It'd be a must-have
channel. I'd watch every Lane Kiffin press conference.
Let's see. Someone said Aunt Sam Houston is better. Not quite sure Sam is better. Let's see. Someone said watching Texas is like watching a train wreck. You just can't stop watching it.
I can understand
someone that. Someone asked, is Texas too big to fail? Obviously not, because failing pretty hard at the moment. And this is an interesting point, too. He said it's almost as if Strong and company told the freshmen as recruits that when you set foot on campus, you'll be the best we have. And if so, now they're reaping the result. That's part of it. That is why they were able to sign the recruiting class.
It was a highly touted recruiting class they brought in.
Now, and it was a highly touted recruiting class on signing day. Now, people also forget the signing day rankings are one thing. And one thing I thought 24/7 Sports, and I think they did it. I don't know if ESPN did one this year, but it was the – it wasn't just your signing day rankings. It was your opening day recruiting rankings.
Oh, interesting.
Who actually made it onto the roster was the thing I saw a while back. And Texas lost a lot of guys. They like the Florida 5 or whatever ended up being the Florida 1, I think, by the time the season opened. So their recruiting rankings were high. And they did have some great guys in that class. A&M would love to have Malik Jefferson
Now. Everybody liked Jefferson.
But that's part of why they were able to sign that class is, hey, we're Texas. We're on the way back. Come here. You're going to play right away, and you'll be part of this thing for a few years. So that's going to be hard to sell again. I mean, that's the one thing, that's something you can sell once. But someone else who cares what Texas is doing, we're still behind Baylor and TCU. I just think we need to worry about someone not leaving for USC, Arkansas, or Auburn. That's from someone in Brian. Just messing
around.
Somebody
leave for Arkansas.
No, that's
Come
what he's
on,
saying. That he's kidding.
That's USC, before. Arkansas, that's funny. No, yeah, you know what? Yeah. But I think that's true. You know what? They're irrelevant right now. Worry about your squad. Worry about that SEC.
Someone said, I believe Texas will be back to their dominant ways in 2067.
Wow.
And then someone said, why is it that the national media, LSU is a proven contender, but A&M is unproven? It's not so much I think that LSU is a proven contender or that A&M is unproven, but Les Miles has won national titles. Miles has won SEC championships.
He was in one in 2011.
Yeah. Miles has won
Got
conference
a record.
Championships.
Track record.
He's won national titles. So when he says his team is good, you listen. Sumlin is in this isn't a knock on him. We all think he's a good coach. We think he's been a great fit for A&M, and I think they've got a chance to do some great things.
Doesn't
he's
have a ring of any sort.
Has not won any titles.
Zero
title
championships.
At all. Yeah, and so I think that is why. I think the media, and with rightfully so, the national guys tend to believe
It's the same reason when I got this question from fans why the perception of Auburn and A&M were so different coming into the season, even though the situations were similar and the records were similar from last year. The reason why? Malzahn got his team to a championship 2 years ago. Someone hasn't gotten his team that far. That's the reason. Whether right or wrong, that's the reason why the national media
Correct.
Perceives
that
it
is true.
In that way. So LSU has so, and LSU is a program over the last decade plus has been a championship caliber program. A&M has not been. So those skins on the wall, that just the brand recognition, and I'm not saying, like again, not right or wrong, but from the national media standpoint, the brand recognition is going to mean something. It's the same reason why people say, how come Utah is the number one in the polls right now?
Yeah.
You know why? Because
they're Utah.
No, because they're Utah. That's
Utah.
Why. I hate to say it, but that's the truth. It's the truth.
All right, we got to go to a break. We'll come back. Keep your texts coming, 229-1939. It's Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagles, Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone FM 102.7.
Here's Brad Beard of Intercon. When we started Intercon in early 1991, we were well aware that we would be competing with some companies that use unscrupulous techniques to make a quick sale, such as bait and switch, or 40% off if you commit today, or misleading, incomplete quotes. Intercon's practice is to be completely honest and encourage prospective customers to talk to our former customers. We've encouraged customers to get multiple quotes. We are confident and proud of our value proposition for windows, glass, and solar screens. We never want anyone to rush into a decision they will regret in the future. Just remember, warranties are only as good as the people who provide them and are servicing the area when situations arise. This is our home and only marketplace, and we will protect our home turf. You've probably heard the saying, the buck stops here, and that is with me, Brad Beard, president and co-owner of Intercon LLC.
Whether you have new construction or an existing home, let the fine folks from Intercon help your home energy efficiency year-round. Call Brad Beard of Intercon today at 823-3639. That's 823-3639.
Before construction ever starts on any new home or business, there has to be clearing and site preparation. That's why Kelly Burt Dozer should be your first thought and your first phone call. Kelly Burt Dozer has been clearing the path for progress for over 20 years. Commercial or residential, see Kelly Burt Dozer for sand, gravel, topsoil and site preparation, lot, land and road clearing. Kelly Burt Dozer, 778-1902. That's 778-1902.
Atkinson at Pace to Stay believes that strong future leaders are in our schools right now.
If you're a high school senior, join your classmates and commit to attending all of your classes this year.
At the end of the school year, Atkinson Toyota Scion is giving away a new Scion, or you could win one of many scholarships.
Details are available at atkinsonatpacetostay.com and on Facebook.
Good luck, seniors from Atkinson Toyota Scion, Mid-South Synergy, The Eagle, Bryan Broadcasting, KBTX Media, Prosperity Bank, and Merrill Lynch.
Learning the skills of skating can bring you a lifetime of fun and exercise. At Spirit Ice Arena, you can learn step-by-step instruction in a pleasant, supervised rink that makes learning to skate safe and easy. Did you know that Spirit Ice Arena is home of the Fighting Texas Aggie hockey team? If you've never been to a live hockey game before, then this is your chance. Tickets are just $10 for adults, $7.50 for students, or two students for $10. To see an Aggie hockey schedule, visit spiriticearena.com or call 693-3900. Spirit Ice Arena, keeping you cool all year long.
Green Teams welcomes the Texas A&M University Center and Special Events to its family of customers. Like many other businesses, Texas A&M Center and Special Events uses Green Teams for interior landscaping. Green Teams also offers short-term plant rentals for events like weddings and conferences. Make your work environment more pleasant with plants. For more information about interior landscaping, call Susie Gallagher with Green Teams, 823-7551. Green Teams.
All SEC football, all the time, with Christopher Smith of Saturday Down South, each Thursday at 1 on the Louis Belina Show, powered by TeamOfNavasota.com.
I've got a Houston solution in mind. All it takes is a call.
Couldn't get no Slim Thug or Bun B.
You know,
you can't get no Houston artist.
I got to defend Rob here. He's not a huge Houston rap guy. He's an old school rap guy. So
okay.
He said he started.
I do appreciate
to go
the old school rap.
He said he started to go through and try to find some appropriate Houston rap songs.
But you have to have edited.
Didn't
verses.
Quite have the time.
Yeah, I was gonna say you need edited versions of those songs.
Yeah, it's a little hard, you know. Yeah, we didn't get some Welcome to Houston and some stuff like that. But you got to be select with the quotes there. So I was willing to cut him some slack. For that today.
All right, it's all good, Rob.
Welcome back. It's Aggie Nation, Bloom, Sesnicon. We're all hanging out talking SEC, A&M, Texas, whatever you guys want to talk about. The interesting thing for me, Sam, is there's a few teams, A&M included, that we're almost midway through October. I mean, when A&M plays again, we'll be past the midway point of October. And I still don't have a good feeling of, is this team good enough to possibly make the playoff? Or are they good enough to make a New Year's Six Bowl? A&M is one of these teams. Another one for me, though, is Baylor. And I bring that up because their schedule, the way it works out, is they needed Tech to be better than they were. And maybe they are that good. But the thing is, if you think Baylor is a top three, top four, whatever team right now, then you're basically basing it on what they did to Tech. And so far, that's really just one game. And Tech might be, what, the fourth best team in the Big 12, maybe, depending on what you think of Oklahoma State and who wins that game there. But they're one of those teams. And I know you said you don't follow the Big 12 as much. You're mostly an SEC guy. But I was wondering what your impressions have been of the Bears so far.
I mean, that offense is crazy.
Unbelievable, right?
I mean, it's sick. I mean,
and I'm not saying they're not. They could very well be a playoff
Coleman.
Team. I'm just saying they're one of those ones I don't know about yet.
But again, they haven't. It's hard to evaluate when you've played SMU, Lamar, or Rice. Texas Tech, I will say this. I was impressed with the way they beat Tech. I did watch a good chunk of that game. And they Tech's a better football team. I mean, they pounded Arkansas. They came very, very close to beating TCU. And I thought that game would be closer than it was. And so I'll give Baylor some credit for that. But, I mean, you look at the schedule, there ain't many potential losses left on it.
No.
I mean, there really isn't. I mean, West Virginia at home, at Kansas State, Oklahoma, at Oklahoma State, at TCU on November 27th is really – really the big one. But, I mean, there are some. But, yeah, I mean, I think we still – it's a, like you said, I think it's a team we still don't know enough about yet. But it's a very good team, I'll tell you what. It's a really good team, and they have built a winning culture there. So I can't imagine that – I mean, barring some crazy things happening, I think they're going to be in the conversation come the end of the year.
Baylor is one of those teams that gets the benefit of the doubt because of how good they've been the last few years. I want to ask you a team on – what is it? Someone called it Overreaction Monday.
Yes,
for the that was awesome.
For the
I
polls,
like that today.
For the polls, it's Overreaction Sunday. This week's team, and I want to ask you about this because you said you watched the SEC and all this kind of stuff, and obviously you cover the SEC, is Florida. This is the team that now we've decided, okay, they're the favorites to win the East. They could be in the mix to be a top 10 team. Are you buying Florida yet, or is this a one-game, one-off Ole Miss implosion versus it's a big win for Florida, but what do you make of the Gators so far?
I'm not going to go all the way off the deep end, but I will say that I thought coming into the season they had a potential to be a 9-win football team. I actually said that on Fine Bob, and Paul was like, wow, you're buying drinks in Gainesville tonight. And I was like, the reason I said that is because there's talent on their roster, especially on the defense. And Jim McElwain, the offense was such a mess for the last couple of years. And Will Grier, you know, heard so much about it. And I liked Treon Harris, too. I thought even though he's not as polished a passer as Will Grier, I was impressed with what he did, you know, when thrown in there as a true freshman. So I felt comfortable that McElwain was going to get a lot out of their quarterbacks. Grier is clearly going to be a good quarterback. You know, DeMarcus Robinson's a heck of a playmaker they have, and they've got a good running game. The O-line was the biggest question. And I think as we continue to get into that, into the season, and you know, we'll see how that goes. They still got LSU left on their schedule, but I mean, the rest of the SEC East, I mean, they've got Mizzou, Georgia, which now looks, you know, very beatable now, Vandy, South Carolina, and then they have at the end of the year Florida Atlantic and FSU. This is a team that has a chance, like I said at the start of the year, win 9 games, maybe 10 games, and I do think they are. I mean, you have to consider them the maybe not the favorite, because I guess UGA, you know, until they
they've still only lost.
Well, you know what though? Didn't Florida beat Georgia last year in the cocktail party?
I don't remember that one.
I think that's one that Muschamp actually got.
I think he
won that game.
So I think it's fair to call them the favorite right now in the SEC East, because the SEC, okay, Missouri's got Drew Locke starting now, the true freshman. You know, Georgia obviously had that loss, and Florida did beat them 38-20. And yeah. Florida handled them. I remember, now that I think about it, I remember the line of scrimmage battle being won by Florida in a very, very convincing fashion. Vandy's obviously a mess. South Carolina's a mess. LSU is, you know, obviously that's going to be a tough
one. And they won at Kentucky already. That's a big game.
And they won it. That was a big game because Kentucky's, you know, playing better football this year.
Well,
I am in on Florida right now. I don't think they're going to be dominant by any stretch of the imagination, but they're a good football team.
I think it's funny how the polls overreact when they beat Ole Miss a little bit, because they hammer Ole Miss. They're a Butch Jones 2-point conversion away from overtime against Tennessee, who now everyone's decided is absolutely terrible. And it's funny how quickly things can change. I mean, what was it, 14-9 over Kentucky?
Yep.
They should have gone to overtime and didn't, but they were able to win in regulation against Tennessee. And now they've beaten Ole Miss. Maybe this is a team that is getting better and better every week. They have a first-year coach. You'd kind of expect that. I'm not saying that they're not going to be in the mix when we get to late November and early December. I just think it's funny. The pollsters you know, slow to get in, but then they clobber Ole Miss. And
but I look at the reason I say those because I look at the schedule, and that stretch of Tennessee, Ole Miss, Mizzou, LSU, and UGA look like a bear for Florida in the middle of the season. Now they're 2-0. Mizzou has a quarterback change and is having trouble offensively. So you feel like they can win that game. Then it's LSU and UGA. I mean, they could split those games. And if you come out with one loss going into the final month of the season, that's really good in Gainesville. By the way, I thought about you when this happened, when Tennessee lost. How's it going on you on Twitter with Tennessee folks?
They've calmed down a little bit. they were, you know, and there's teams I was wrong about, obviously, but Tennessee, I just never got the love.
You feel a little validated about that. You're patting yourself on the back to that one.
Like I said, there's teams I've missed on this year, too. But they're one I got right. Oklahoma's one I got right, too. They're better than what
I wanted Aubrey
thought.
To come in the studio stunting.
See, I hate my people overreact. I just want to know in that SEC championship game between A&M and Florida who have more fans.
Wow. Look at C's already putting the Aggies in the
I will
SEC
say it's funny, though,
game.
Too.
I
looked back at this yesterday because the fans already know that we don't know what we're talking about as media.
Yep.
I thought it was funny to see what the coaches didn't know what they were talking about in preseason. I looked back at the all SEC preseason teams, and I know why
people,
I was going to show the point is that it wasn't just media hyping people up, it was the coaches themselves. The all SEC quarterbacks by the coaches in the preseason were first team Dak Prescott, and you're like, okay, pretty good. But second team, Matty Mock.
Oh man.
And
Johnson and Joshua Dobbs.
Jeremy Johnson and Josh
Dobbs. Everybody loved Dobbs. That's why everybody loved Tennessee.
Dobbs, I think, has yet to win an SEC game this season. The other two of the four have been benched.
Jeremy Johnson might be on another planet.
And that was the coaches.
Matty Mock is suspended. Jeremy Johnson
for who
is
knows
benched.
How long. that doesn't sound like it's
and Dak Prescott,
soon.
Who I still think is good, his team's just not very good. So it's funny. It's not just the media.
They got the running backs right, Nick Chubb and Leonard Fournette.
Yeah, they got those guys.
Yeah, we all got those right.
But we talked about it before the season. This was going to be a weird year for the SEC quarterbacks, and they had a lot of unproven guys, and that's what it's turned out to be. So we should be surprised with some of these things and not by others, because during SEC media days we joked that it would be insane to do it, but I liked Kyle Allen as much as anyone in the league, because I just think he's going to be pretty good.
I did too.
Yeah, and sure enough, if right now he would probably be your first team all SEC quarterback, him or Greer, or you know, potentially Swag Kelly in a couple weeks could be back up there. He had such a bad game Saturday, but it'll even out again. So.
I will say this about Tennessee, though. I thought people put a little bit too much in terms of expectations without realizing how young that team still really is. Because all the talent on that team, kind of like A&M's last year, all the best talent were either freshmen or sophomores. And so those guys still had to grow up. That's why I wasn't quite as high. I do think Butch has them going the right direction. I know people are going to question his play calling and decision-making late in games. But in terms of the program as a whole, I think the program's still in good shape. I don't know. I think it's caused to jump off a bridge. I mean, these are close ball games that they've lost. But I mean, the talent's there. They're just young. These guys haven't been in those types of SEC games a whole lot.
All right, that's going to do for this part of the show today. We're going to go to break. When we come back, time for the high school report. Stay with us. Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone FM 102.7.
From News Talk 1620 WTAW, I'm Chelsea Reber with a news update on Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone 102.7 FM. Texas A&M went to social media to release fall enrollment statistics. On A&M's Twitter feed, an infographic reports more than 61,000 Aggies are on campuses in Brazos County. Compared to last year, it's an increase of 3,300 on the main campus and 124 at the Health Science Center. Bryan Police, responding to a report of cell phones being stolen, wound up discovering a suspicious-looking piece of pipe. And Officer Kelly McKeithen says the pipe under the bridge at Highway 47 in Villa Maria affected traffic for more than 2 hours yesterday afternoon.
They shut down the road and called in College Station Bomb Squad just for structural reasons, because it was near a structural post. That's one of the reasons why we couldn't let anyone go over 47, or, you know, we didn't want anyone going under 47, so we shut down that whole area. The bomb squad was able to come in. They sent in their remote device to get a look at it. Then they neutralized it and were able to extract that device.
Investigators believe there is no connection between the pipe and the cell phone thefts. Details have been announced for the upcoming Veterans Day program at the Brazos Valley Veterans Memorial. Board member Bill Youngkin says 101 names are being added to the more than 5,000 on the memorial.
All the names are called. If you're present, you would answer like you, if you were in mourning formation. If it's someone who's not there, a deceased family member, then the family answers for them. And it's become a very integral part of our program is the roll call.
This year's speaker is retired Marine and former Aggie Yell leader Mike Beggs, class of 1968. And Youngkin says vets are invited to wear their dog tags to the program. For more, go online to WTAW.com. I'm Chelsea Reber on Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
Merry Christmas!
Does your Christmas wish list include a store full of Christmas shoppers? To make sure your business has a Merry Christmas, you need a partner capable of delivering a powerful marketing message full of holiday cheer. That partner is Brazos Family Magazine, a local publication filled exclusively with local articles. For more information about Brazos Family Magazine, contact Santa's Elves at Bryan Broadcasting.
Meet Fred, world champion excuse maker.
That's me.
He's been late for work 5 days in a row. His excuses?
Someone stole my steering wheel, my cat had a root canal, my cousin's houseboat sank, and I had to feed my neighbor's ferret.
So what's his excuse for not going to AggielandHelpWanted.com? He knows he'll find a terrific new job from a great local employer.
Yeah.
It's free. There are more local job postings than anywhere else, and applying for jobs is even easier than ever before.
Well, yeah.
So, champ?
I was abducted by aliens.
Uh-huh. There's no excuse. Go to AggielandHelpWanted.com today. Long name, amazing results.
Discounted tickets for the Brazos Valley Fair and Rodeo are now available. Get your carnival wristband special before October 11th. Available at Cavendish Producers Co-op and online at BrazosValleyFair.com. It's more than you imagined. October 16th, 17th, and 18th.
Win a new car or a scholarship.
Sign up at AtkinsonItPaysToStay.com.
It's the oldest rivalry in town, and this Wednesday is coming to the Crosstown Kickoff Show. The Bryan Vikings versus the A&M Consolidated Tigers. Join myself, Zach Taylor, alongside Vikings head coach Ross Rogers, Tigers head coach Dave Ratfield, and some choice players as we get you set for one of the biggest rivalry games in Texas. Things get underway Wednesday night at 6 at Kreitz Market in Bryan and go all the way until 7. Broadcast will be on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone 102.7 FM and can be heard online at RadioAggieland.com. It's the Crosstown Kickoff Show, and it's live this Wednesday from Kreitz Market in Bryan.
Now it's time for the High School Report, covering all the local sports action in the community on Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle.
Welcome back. Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle. Time for the High School Report, brought to you by Kelly Bird Dozer, your number one excavating contractor. You can call them at 778-1902. Kelly Bird Dozer, proudly supporting the youth of our community. And to talk about the youth today, I will reluctantly turn the show over to two Rangers fans.
Yeah, two Rangers fans, exactly right. Zach Taylor's with us today, and we're not going to talk about the Rangers because I don't want to do anything that's going to mess things up in a big way.
Well, that's true. I don't want to ruin anything.
And quite frankly, I don't want to jinx the Astros either. I'm okay with them winning tonight too. So, but Zach is on, and the reason I want to talk to Zach is we were out for the very first Crosstown Kickoff show that you had last week, Zach, at Kreitz Market, which I thought was a First of all, I thought it was a really cool idea, and I was kind of curious where you guys came up with the idea of going out in the community and having a show like that before you did the Crosstowns.
Well, you know, it was something that we had thought about, obviously, with Bryan Broadcasting. We try to do as much local stuff as we can, especially with high school sports, and that's kind of my domain. And I'd actually gotten a little bit of an idea. I got to give him credit to Buddy Reed, who's the athletic coordinator over at CSISD. Mm-hmm. And he said at a district that he had been in Louisiana, that they had actually done something like that. And unfortunately,
you mean Louisiana beat Texas to something in a positive way?
I know, right? And I didn't even know they had radio down there. So, and apparently this place they had it at had lights, too, and electricity and indoor plumbing.
Wow.
But, he was telling me about it. And of course, you know, with four teams in town, plus Navasota, who we cover, it's pretty hard to do a show every single week for every single team. But the wonderful thing about here in town is we've got four teams that are in the same district. So we just decided any time that two teams in town played each other that we would do a show and get the coaches and the players up there. So
how did you think that first show went? I mean, I'm a guy sitting out in the audience. You're sitting up on the stage with everybody looking at you, and it's got to be a little bit of a different feel sitting up there. But I thought it went very well. You had a pretty nice crowd, and I always think the hardest one to do is the first one.
Yeah, I think so, too. I mean, the host could have been a little bit better, but, you know, as far as the guests, that's the big thing, too, and I know you guys know about this, you know, with the high school kids. I'm nervous up there, and I'm kind of in the radio business, and yeah, it is a little bit different as far as doing a live show in front of people, but, you know, I can't imagine going up there when I was 17, 18 years old and having to talk in front of people watching me.
Right.
And so, you know, high school guys are a little nervous already, much less having to talk to you and answer questions. So at that point, it's a little bit different, especially whenever you're comparing it to talking with college kids, but you know, I thought it really well. You know, I saw you out there in the audience, Dave, and it just kind of settled me down a little bit. I just knew that everything was going to be okay.
Yeah, and you could tell by the way I was eating, I was paying careful attention.
Yeah,
right?
As Dave is over there stuffing his face with some sausage, which, by the way, Dave, I know we've talked about this too. Is anyone has never tried Kreitz before? It is fantastic. And I know that Dave was talking to me before and just how much you enjoy it, and I enjoy the food there as well. So not only do you get that atmosphere of getting to go to a place with some really good food to enjoy some really good barbecue, but you also get to listen in. And I thought we had a pretty good crowd for the first time.
Okay,
as well.
And I'm going to admit to something that I never thought I would admit to on the air. Louis Bellina suggested that I get the pork chops, and that's the first time I'd done that, and they were really good.
Yeah, Louis doesn't know much, but his food he does know. So,
yeah, okay,
so,
yeah. we'll give him that. All right, you do have the original Crosstown Showdown this week, so you're going to do this thing again Wednesday night, and again back to Kreitz Market. So do you think now you got one under your belt, people know a little bit more about it, you get a bigger crowd, and how do you get the crowd involved in it? Have you thought about walking around with a microphone and having people ask some questions of you guys and maybe the coaches that are involved? I mean, is that something that might come into play as this thing progresses?
Well, we thought about that a little bit, and yeah, I do like the idea of getting the crowd involved. Unfortunately with this, though, is that you get the coaches, each coach for 15 minutes, and
right.
Then you get the players for 15 minutes. What I would kind of like to do, and hopefully we can try this tomorrow night, and hopefully we got a big enough crowd, is passing around little slips of paper and
yeah.
Say if the crowd has anything they want to ask the kids, to write it down, and we'll look it over, and if it's a good question, then we'll ask them. That's something that we've thought of, and hopefully we can do that tomorrow night. But yeah, getting the crowd involved, you know, of course we want as many people as we can there. I've gotten in touch with everybody that I pretty much can from both schools, and let them know, but kind of talking about it on air too gets the word out. And so we really want a lot of people to show up tomorrow. Again, that's at 6 o'clock. At Kreitz Market Barbecue and Bryan there right off of Highway 6.
But, and I know Chelsea was with you last week. I remember when Chelsea was our board operator on the Bryan Viking games, but now she's like Hansel. She's so hot. She's just out on everything, involved in all kinds of things. But honestly, Chelsea's is the right person to be there too, because she's got out doing these interviews with coaches. She's out doing interviews with players, and so I thought that was a good tie-in too.
I'm just trying to get over you using a Zoolander reference there, Dave.
Yeah, thank you.
but no, Chelsea helps out a ton. She helps me set up and break down. And yeah, she's just kind of making her way around the crowd, asking everybody how they're doing. And we had cheerleaders from both schools show up last time. Some parents were there. And also we try to get the PTAs and the PTOs to bring as much stuff as they can, because, you know, they're throughout the year they're always trying to sell off some T-shirts and some merchandise to help raise funds for whatever they're doing. So that's something else that we embrace over there, and it's a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to it tomorrow night.
All right, does it become a different kind of challenge, Zach, when you had Rutter and College Station, who are the new kids on the block by comparison to A&M Consolidated and Bryan? They've been playing each other since the 1980s in Crosstown Showdowns. Now, do these guys go out and say, "Wait, we can't let Rutter and College Station beat us out"? I mean, are you tossing that out there, at least as the possibility of trying to get them fired up?
Just hey, look, guys, we got a really good crowd last week. It would really stink if you didn't have a big enough crowd. No, you know, maybe a little bit, but I think I do expect a pretty big crowd here this weekend, or not this weekend, but this week, and then this weekend, of course, at the game. But, you know, these two teams have been playing each other for so long. This is the original Crosstown Showdown. And so what better way to kind of get yourself set up than in the middle of the week, get to hear both coaches kind of scope each other out and just give a little bit of a preview as well as from some of the players, which you don't get in those pregame interviews that we do. So I'm really looking forward to it. And yeah, I mean, this is kind of the biggest deal we've got going on, biggest thing in high school football here in Bryan College Station. So I'm really expecting a big crowd tomorrow night.
All right, and David Raffield and Ross Rogers will be there. And since neither one of those guys are very quotable, that'll probably be a challenge for you.
I know it's going to be tough.
Right? Those are two great guys to talk to anytime. But I thought Will Compton last week and Steve Huff, I enjoyed the interviews you did with those guys last week, too.
Yeah, the coaches did a great job of talking to me. I did appreciate that. And them kind of opening up a little bit. Maybe not giving away too much, but opening up a little bit up there on the stage.
All right, yeah, I guess you don't want to say anything that's going to fire anybody up too much. Do you have any idea who the players are going to be, or do they surprise you when they show up?
I do know a couple of the guys, at least for Consolidated, still waiting on Coach Ross Rogers to nail that one down. He probably will after practice today as far as who I'm going to be talking with tomorrow. But for A&M Consolidated, Coach Raffield's already gotten to me, and tomorrow it's going to be T.J. Reneszewski and Malik Williams, so defensive back and senior offensive tackle. And then I imagine Coach Ross Rogers is going to bring a couple of his veteran guys, too.
So you'll have a guy in an offensive lineman there who probably appreciates the opportunity to eat and also is usually very, very well-spoken. I've always thought offensive linemen are the smartest guys on the field because, as I've said time and time again, nobody's trying to hit them. They're trying to hit the people behind them. So they're the only guys on the field nobody's trying to hit, to be honest. All right, you've also been doing the Rutter games this year. And Rutter, they've been significantly more competitive, but they weren't last week. What happened in that College Station game?
It's just one of those things where every now and then you'll get a week where it just seems like the guys aren't fully in it. And it's not as if Rutter wasn't going out there and trying to compete. They were. And you got to give a lot of credit, too, to College Station.
Right.
I mean, the Cougars, ever since they lost that game to Waco, they have just been playing angry, and they've been blowing out everybody. And so for Rutter, it's still a little bit of a rebuilding process for Coach Compton, even though they are a lot more competitive. I expect a really good game this weekend against Willis, but College Station's pretty dang good. So.
Well, you'll be covering that Willis game, but that seems like an extremely important game to me for Rutter.
Oh, yeah. Well, me and Keith were talking. Keith Kane does the games with me, and we were talking about it after in the post-game show about the big test is now how well do they bounce back from this? Because, you know, you can say, well, it's one thing to kind of let up on a week or get blown out at home, but how well do you respond? That's the biggest question. And I think that's definitely going to be the question this weekend when they head down to Willis.
All right, you'll be at Kreitz Market. That'll be Wednesday night. You'll start at 6 o'clock. And this week it's the original Crosstown Showdown, the Tigers taking on the Vikings, and that's the group you'll have there. Then you get a week off, but you're going to get paid back for it somewhere down the line because there's going to be one week where you have two Crosstown Showdowns in the same week.
Yeah.
You're going to squeeze everybody in there. All these coaches are going to work their way into the restaurant that night?
Yeah, we'll probably just have to do a strictly coaches show that week. I have a hard time feeling that we can get the players in there, but that will probably be just coaches. And then we also have a playoff show the first week of playoffs. We're going to have the playoff teams up there as well. So,
what if they just keep going? Are you going to go back? I mean, or is that you play it by ear?
I think we're just going to do that first
just
week.
Just the kickoff.
Yeah, just the kickoff,
playoff, right?
Just kicking off playoffs. But, yeah, if anybody wants to check out the schedule, go to thezone1150.com, go to the page, and then look under events. It's under kickoff show. And, of course, you can listen to it right here on Sports Radio 1150.
All right, one last question, Zach, before we wrap this up. Did you play high school football?
No, I didn't. I was a baseball guy.
That explains a lot.
Explains everything you've ever needed to know about, Zach.
Because I always like to ask what position people play. That's always.
I was a linebacker in middle school, and then I fractured my wrist because an offensive lineman fell on me, and then I couldn't play baseball. I had to sit out for fall ball. So after that, I just decided, I'll just stick with what I know.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll not hold you against you. Hold that against you because you do a good job covering the high school sports. So.
I appreciate it, guys.
All right. That is Zach. He's going to be out at Kreitz at 6 o'clock. And I know that's a little cross promotion there, but I think it's a really good thing. I really like that. I like that get together that they do each week. And we really would encourage you. I was out there last week. Wasn't sure I was going to be able to make it, but I was. Don't think I'll make it this week. So that's good news for everybody. They can be there and not have to put up with me.
There you go. Should be a fun time out there. That's today's High School Report brought to you by Kelly Bird Dozer, your number one excavating contractor. You can call them at 778-1902. Kelly Bird Dozer is proudly supporting the youth of our community. We'll go to break, come back, and wrap up with the news. This is Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, here on Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone FM 102.7.
When you think of Texas A&M Athletics on the Zone...
Think of the businesses sponsoring the games of your favorite team.
Businesses like Schulte Roofing, Prosperity Bank, and Subway.
Here's a big gig'em to these sponsors of Texas A&M Athletics. You're listening to the flagship station for Texas A&M Athletics, Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
Tickets are now available for this year's Brazos Valley Fair and Rodeo. Head out to the Brazos County Expo October 16th, 17th, and 18th. There's fun for all with the carnival, rodeo, awesome concerts, shopping, high-flying canines, livestock shows, a tailgate area, and more. Discounted tickets and unlimited ride wristbands available until October 11th at Producers Co-op, Cavenders, and online at BrazosValleyFair.com or call 979-821-1450.
Walking, running, jumping, stretching, pulling, pushing. Any repetitive motion can cause wear and damage to your body. Using advanced diagnostic equipment and computerized technologies, the orthopedic sports medicine physicians and therapists at Scott & White Healthcare can treat all of your sports injuries, no matter how complex. Don't get sidelined by injuries. Pursue your passion in top form. Visit sportsmedicine.sw.org for more information.
Before construction ever starts on any new home or business, there has to be clearing and site preparation. That's why Kelly Burt Dozer should be your first thought and your first phone call. Kelly Burt Dozer has been clearing the path for progress for over 20 years, commercial or residential. See Kelly Burt Dozer for sand, gravel, topsoil and site preparation, lot, land, and road clearing. Kelly Burt Dozer, 778-1902. That's 778-1902.
Flo, and this is my impression of an automatic boat naming machine.
Name number one, yeah, buoy, spelled B-U-O-Y, ha ha ha. Name number two, peer pressure, get it, P-I-E-R, see what I did there. Name number three, great boat insurance from Progressive at a great price. Maybe a little bit long-winded, but nevertheless true.
Progressive Boat Insurance. The coverage you need starting around just $8 a month. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. $8 monthly premium excludes fees and taxes and is not available in all states.
Hi, Gabe Bach here from TexAgs Radio. And if you're not currently a premium or varsity level subscriber to TexAgs.com, what are you waiting for? TexAgs.com is the inside source for all things Aggie sports, the leaders in breaking news coverage, in-depth analysis, recruiting scoop, and more. Whether it's exclusive long-form interviews with Aggie players and coaches or inside on the next big recruit on his way to Aggieland, nobody covers A&M like Texags. Jump on board now and don't miss out on the very best in A&M sports coverage. It's texags.com.
Your home for Houston Texans football. Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
But after 8 years on the left coast, he says he wants to come home. So he signs on with the Astros. He'll bring magic to the dome as he throws his fifth no-hitter. They're talking about he might be the best. In Texas, people know that he's the fastest in the West.
Welcome back. Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle Op Bloom, joined by Kelly Brown. Want to remind you that things aren't going to change in the postseason. Your home for the Astros is right here on Sports Radio 1150 in a Zone FM 102.7. Starting tonight with the Astros game against the Yankees. We will have the Astros and the Rangers throughout the postseason. Hopefully the Astros go beyond tonight. Can't say for certain, but if they do, you can listen to it right here on this station as you have all season. Kelly, what's going on out there?
Well, have you already discussed what you're wearing?
Everyone, it's the playoff. I'm in my Astros jersey. There was no doubt about that. Yeah,
and you were called out by well, Alan Cannon at the Texas A&M press conference.
He did point it out, and but someone's
what
an Astros guy too. He just said, "Next question will be Aubrey in the Astros jersey."
Can't miss it.
No, it's
also came in a hat. And I heard that he has pom-poms in his car, cheerleading pom-poms.
I do, actually, but okay. They're not Astros. They're Tyvee ones left from when my mom had the car. So, but there are actually blue, navy blue pom-poms in the car. I might need to bring them up to Northgate
tonight. This is maybe a little bit too much of a confessional today.
Let's get right back to the Astros news. Playoffs. It's all bets are off today.
Okay, enough about the Astros. For the love of God, we had an astronaut in town today, an Apollo 16 astronaut, Duke.
You can't say enough about the Astros and then transition into a story about an astronaut.
Stop.
I mean, that's you can't you led right. You're
Stop
you
talking.
Walked yourself into that one.
Stop
Kelly.
Talking.
A real Astro.
A real Astro. Charlie Duke was on the Texas A&M campus today to present a pair of $10,000 scholarships to Aggies. He discussed the future of space exploration. You know, he's 43 years removed from his last space mission. So he talked to our Sam Peschek about the best way to establish a presence on Mars. And it's very exciting. So
we couldn't get him for space news on Friday, so this will have to be the next best thing, right?
Well, it's going to have to be. But my goal is to get an astronaut to talk to you. That's my goal in life right now. It's sad.
I don't want to give anything away. We might have some things in the work for space news down the road.
Okay. So I used to live next door to an astronaut.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's an astronaut that lived in Kerrville. They would do stories in the Times about him all the time.
Well, enough about that. You're talking to somebody who lived next door to an astronaut.
By the way, I'm wearing an Astros jersey. This guy was wearing a real Astro jacket. His NASA like flight plan has the mission logo on the sleeve and stuff. That was legit.
Aubrey doesn't let anybody talk when he gets excited about the Astros. I had more to say, but whatever. Okay, it's all about him. So, story on some changes at the Blinn campus here in Bryan. Some major changes on the leadership shakeup. So, check that out. Tonight is National Night Out. So, if there is an event in your community, in your neighborhood, you really want to track that down. Because there's probably going to be free food and a police officer that you can ask questions
about. Put your TV outside on the Astros game and everyone can have a National Night Out.